you for being a Bump2 subscriber. In the second half of our conversation, David and I talk about the value of time and choice, the impact of trauma, and some of his favorite stories from his cross-country trip. I think one of the things that both trauma, some of the endurance athletics, both teach you is to focus on what is important.
Yeah, because don't you realize going through any kind of trauma that time is a very valuable commodity, you know? And I kind of always thought that the choice to do something is a choice not to do 1,000 other things. And oftentimes trauma doesn't give us that choice, right? We have to deal with that thing. We don't get to choose to deal with 1,000 other things we could be doing. But, you know, when you can choose to do something, that is the thing that you should be doing that's the most important to you. How wonderful is that, right? So I think that being immersed in the moment, being immersed into the thing that you are either forced into, which you have to deal with, or when we can choose to do something, that's the thing that's the greatest, right? Be present, be focused, be the best that you can be in that moment, because you could be choosing to do 1,000 other things and you're not.
Now, I think choosing to be present is one of the greatest gifts of life.
It's hard though, right?
It takes practice. Certainly, I can't do it all the time. I try. I have a kind of a ritual before podcasts in that I get very still and quiet, meditate. And I always make it a point to go in with a very open mind and non-judgmental. Mm-hmm. And that's not hard with most people, but sometimes I hit a bump where it is difficult.
Right.
And I think being intensely present helps so much with so many things in life. First of all, you experience life. It doesn't pass you by. Time slows. Mm-hmm. You're actually there. Mm-hmm. Being present, being truly present, I think it creates a paradigm shift in the way you view life and time.
Yeah, I do. But being present is very interesting. It's an interesting concept. And just recently, I'm part of a men's group, that one of the things they do is create this kind of like safe environment for you to talk about things. And they kick off the meeting where the moderator kind of goes around the room and he says, you know, how are you feeling emotionally? How are you feeling physically? And, you know, how you feeling mentally? And you can't answer it without being truthful, right? Without being present, without like not how are you? Oh, I'm fine. I mean, like, how are you? Like, how are you? You know, I'm tired. Okay. Yeah. How you doing mentally? It's like, be present. It's hard because we don't often allow ourselves to show weakness. We don't often allow ourselves to just be who we are. It's really, really tough. Being present it's a struggle. It's hard. I applaud you for doing it. I try to do it as often as I can. You know, I'm in a conversation with someone, Pat, and I feel that I'm not present, I really focus on being present. I think it is, as you said, it's one of the most important things. It's tough though. It's tough.
Of course it's hard. I mean, we have so many different things going on. Some are good, some are bad. They're all over the emotional map. Mm-hmm. And to still that noise and just focus on one thing at a time takes a lot of practice. And I think it's a lifelong practice.
It is, and especially in today's world when we have, you know, at the touch of a finger, so much to distract us. How many of your listeners can say, I don't turn on the TV or I don't look at my phone or computer for 3 hours before I go to bed? None of them, right? None of them do that. How many say, I don't pick up the newspaper, turn on the television, or pick up my phone for the first hour once I wake up? Not one of them says that, right? So we have the access to so much stuff that our minds never do get quiet. And that's part of the reason why I still enjoy doing endurance athletics, is you're forced to quiet your mind. You're forced to be present. You're forced to let go of all of the distractions that can take us away from the things that are important to us or should be important to us. And when you're forced to sit down and take a look in the mirror for 5 minutes, for an hour, for 3 hours, for 5 hours at a time, it gives you the opportunity to fix what you don't like or really feel proud about the things you do like.
I think part of the magic of sports is that intense sense of being present. I think I first experienced it flying sailplanes. Mm. You had to be intensely present. Mm-hmm. And I can remember landing one day where time just extended. Everything was so slow. So I must have been doing something right because I wasn't panicked. But I could almost feel the individual blades of grass just brush against the belly of the plane as it settled down on a grass runway. I mean, it's right. Just magical.
It is, but you also have a second sense of being able to knowing how to navigate the plane, right? How to command the plane. It's also quiet, right?
It didn't happen overnight. It's like, it's that state mm-hmm. of flow where it takes an enormous amount of work and effort to be able to enter mm-hmm. and stay in flow.
Yeah, and then you have the added benefit of it being quiet. So you're in control and it's quiet. And there's this rush of endorphins from the joy you're feeling about being where you really want to be. You're also present, so you're unbelievably aware. I mean, it's a really neat place to be at. I find that in endurance athletics. You find it in flying. Some people find it in needlepoint, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Or yoga or meditation or whatever. But we oftentimes don't make that the priority because it also gives you a chance to look at what your frailties are. It also gives you a chance to reflect on negative things that are happening or have happened in your life. And those are hard things to do. I mean, it's, you know, what's that saying? A rolling stone gathers no moss. Well, sometimes that moss is positive. Sometimes it's negative. So if we stay moving, I don't have to deal with the problem. You know, I don't know if that's the best thing to do.
No, I think that it is not the best thing to do because psychologically and emotionally, what you don't deal with, you will revisit. Mm-hmm.
Or it's just going to sit there and be a cancer. I figuratively or real,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, they say that the stress is such a big killer. You know, they've proven this, physicians have proven all over. I just saw an article today where a big, long study is showing how overwork is directly related to early death in people, especially with certain underlying conditions. That stress that we keep inside, the not being present, not being real, not dealing with our emotions, not dealing with trauma, that can really eat away at us. I mean, figuratively and really it can eat away at us. And it's, I think that's probably one of the things I'm most grateful for in this whole project is realizing that it's okay to explore your emotional side of this. It's okay to lean in and say stupid things and the wrong thing to people with the right intent of just trying to create a meaningful connection. Right. Those are great things. And where before I might have shied away, I definitely shied away from difficult conversations. I more lean into them for sure.
I think they're more interesting and more soul satisfying.
Yeah, it's tough though. It's, you know, people are going to care. Are they going to care what I have to say, Pat? Are they going to listen to me? Am I going to be safe to be an idiot? Am I going to be safe to show my weakness? Am I going to be safe to be strong when they think I should be weak? I mean, there's a million different questions we have in our minds. We think people, think we should be handling things a certain way. And if we're not handling it that way, then, you know, we're going to clam up. And so it's such an interesting topic. And it really drove me to find these just great people with inspiring, evocative, just tremendously moving stories. A lot of them very positive, but still, you know, a lot of them very moving because I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn what people might be going through so that I could better relate to them.
What do you think are among the most inspirational stories?
Oh boy, I'd say they're all inspirational in their own right. I think, I'll give you the the few that I think are really special. I think that finding love is really, really real love, right? Finding real love is such a kind of elusive, magical concept to people. And there's one story where somebody, you know, encountered this magical, true, spectacular love that they thought they would never have. And shortly after, the girlfriend, which became the wife, got breast cancer. And within a couple of years, she was dead. Very, very tragic. But he also found love again. And what he says is, what happened to me is the most horrible negative thing ever. But I love my life right now. I mean, I love it. If that didn't happen, this wouldn't have happened. And did I want it to work out that way? Of course not. But I am married to somebody who loves me for who I am, who understands what I never would have been prepared for this relationship had I not gone through what I'd gone through. And I just think it's so hopeful and so inspiring to know that somebody just didn't find the thing that they were looking for. And then when it was yanked away from them, you know, spiral into darkness and nothingness. It was the opposite. I think that's very inspiring. Another story that I think is super inspiring is there's a woman that, she made it through five different cancers, Pat, over 35 years. Can you imagine? Five different cancers over 35 years. And a lot of it, I know you're into journaling and a lot of this other stuff. A lot of it was self-care. Like she was really in tune to what was going on with herself. And so she really took a first party a role in her care. And, you know, really pushed the doctors, really, you know, pushed her oncologist and, you know, really pushed the knowledge tree that she had. But her story was really about overcoming abuse because she lived in a ridiculously abusive relationship for 4 years and had to find a way to escape that. And as tragic as that was for her and as hard as it is to hear the brutality that she had to endure on so many levels for so many years, what's inspiring about it is that she turned that into the strength that allowed her to deal with her first and then subsequent second, third, fourth, fifth cancer diagnoses. And had she not been able to process the whatever positive she could take from that horrible experience, who knows if she would have been strong enough to overcome that a lifetime of cancer. So it's there's so many inspiring stories. I could keep going. All of them are really, they're really moving stories.
The name of your book again?
It's Cycle of Lives, 5,000 Miles, or 15 People's Emotional Journey. I lost it. Look at that. My brain, I never even say the title. I just say Cycle of Lives. It's a Cycle of Lives, 15 People's 15 people stories, 5,000 miles and an emotional journey of cancer. So just look up Cycle of Lives. One of the cool things about it, Pat, and I always forget to mention this early on, is that each one of the book participants picked a cancer-focused charity or a nonprofit that they wanted to support. So 100% of the proceeds from the book are going to support the cancer and other focused charities that were picked by the book participants. So although the book is going to be helpful to people, it's also helping to raise money for great organizations. And I guess the subtitle isn't as important as the title, which is Cycle of Lives.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. You can subscribe to our free podcast at www.bumpintheroad.us or become a premium member to hear the full conversation. Just go to www.bumpintheroad.us for more information and to sign up.